You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today on Locked On Wolves, I'd like to talk about the NBA playoffs from Wednesday night. And then I want to get into Miles Turner as a potential trade target for the Timberwolves. And actually, this is a real live rumor. I mean, this is the first actual kind of trade rumor, or I guess more accurately, Team X has interest in player Y that we've seen. And I mean, in forever, right? Since the trade deadline. I mean, this is one of the first instances we actually have a documented case of a legitimate rumor. So I want to dive into it. I want to talk about, could the Timberwolves actually trade for Miles Turner? Why might they be interested? What could they offer? How would the salaries work? Would it make the Timberwolves better to acquire Turner? What would the acquisition costs be? So I want to get into Turner here in the next couple segments. We'll open with just kind of a quick summary of what we saw in the NBA playoffs on Wednesday evening. First, though, a quick reminder, as always, you can follow this show, Locked On Wolves, anywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes Apple, as well as Google, Spotify, and of course, the all-new Odyssey app. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, and my Twitter account is at B-Beacon. That's B-Beacon, two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Today on the road to the NBA Finals, our playoff coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little more this season. Wednesday night in the NBA playoffs was actually relatively quiet in that there was only one game. Most nights, of course, we've had two. One game on Wednesday. This was game two of the Western Conference semifinal series, Denver at Phoenix. And Phoenix ran away and hit in this one. They won every quarter. They were up throughout. Phoenix was up, 10 points at halftime and ended up extending that lead throughout the second half. Denver was disinterested is maybe an unfair word, but Phoenix was getting whatever they wanted offensively. Denver did not, for whatever reason, could not slow down Phoenix's pick and roll game. They allowed Chris Paul to rack up 15 assists. And, you know, the Suns, everybody kind of knows what they want to do offensively, but they're still very hard to stop because Devin Booker's really good and they've got great complementary players. They've got a dynamic pick and roll game with Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. They've got some nice ancillary players, whether that's, you know, Jay Crowder or Mikal Bridges. But in this game, it was really all about the Suns just kind of getting what they wanted. Nobody dominated. Nobody had more than 18 points on the Suns roster. But they had, 10 players or 11 players score five or more points in this game? Just nuts. Just a completely well-rounded performance. 18 from Booker, 17 from Paul, 16 from Bridges, 15 from Ayton. They got 11 from Jay Crowder, 10 from Torrey Craig off the bench. And then they also got 8 from former Timberwolf Dario Saric, who was very good in his 16 minutes in this game. 7 apiece from Cam Johnson, Cameron Payne, and Etuan Moore. Just an extremely well-rounded performance from Phoenix and a complete lack of urgency from a Denver team that was already down one game to nothing in this series. And they got 24-13-6 from the Joker, but nobody else scored more than 11 points for the Denver Nuggets in this game. Only two starters in double figures, 24 from Jokic, only 11 from Michael Porter Jr. on 3 of 13 shooting. Aaron Gordon only had 6 points and 1 rebound in just 20 minutes in this game. 6 points from Austin Rivers. Will Barton had 10 off the bench. And Paul Millsap had 11 in just 12 minutes. But this was just an all-around disappointing performance from the Denver Nuggets. They didn't show much fight defensively. They weren't good offensively. They made threes at a reasonable clip. But outside of that, I mean, they were out-rebounded by 6 on the glass. They committed 11 turnovers to only 7 for the Phoenix Suns. Just, again, I guess the best way to say it, I don't think disinterested would be fair necessarily. I just think there was maybe a lack of urgency, especially defensively. The Suns were getting to their first option far too often. They were effective in pick and roll game with Paul and Ayton. they were able to, you know, Chris Paul himself was able to stop and pull the trigger without too much. He was really under no duress in this game, 6 of 10 shooting. Nobody attempted more than 14 shots on the Suns. Booker was 6 of 14. Nobody else shot the ball more than 12 times this side of Devin Booker. And now it's 2-0. The series goes back to Denver. I think the Nuggets will almost certainly win one of two there. My initial pick was Nuggets in 7. And now Phoenix in 6 or 7 is looking far more likely, of course. But Denver's got to at least show some fight. Michael Malone did the thing after the game that he's been doing. He did it in the first round. I forget if it was one of the early games in the first round series where he just called his team soft. He basically did that again. He talked about how they were terrible from top to bottom. There was a lack of urgency. He said his team didn't want to be there. He said one of these teams wanted to be there, one didn't, obviously referencing the Nuggets as the team that was not interested. And it worked last time. The Nuggets bounced back. But the question is, how much of this messaging through the media, this reinforcement of the idea that his guys didn't play hard, how far will that carry this team? And can he keep doing this once, maybe twice a series, if the Nuggets are struggling to play with any sort of effort? I mean, Phoenix, this is at least, yeah, the Nuggets were somewhat disinterested, but Phoenix has been blowing everybody out the last few games and played, you know, won basically a couple of blowouts, one big blowout at the end of the Lakers series. They won game one easily here. And are they just going to walk through the Nuggets? Are the Nuggets ready to pack it in with no Jamal Murray? I hope not. I hope we get a competitive series. But the early returns aren't good through the first two games. And obviously the Nuggets now are behind in a big way. I'm interested to see what happens. I think this series picks up again on Friday night in Denver. On Thursday, on the docket for Thursday, we've got Brooklyn-Milwaukee game 3. That series is back in Milwaukee with the Nets up 2-0. That's 6:30 on ESPN. The second game of the doubleheader is game 2 of Clippers and Jazz. That, of course, was the best game so far of the week, in my opinion. I think that was a ton of fun to watch. Clippers up early. They run out of gas a little bit. The Jazz go up doubled figures in the fourth quarter, but then the Clippers come back with the chance to tie it in the final minute. That was a lot of fun on Tuesday night, and we'll see what that series has in store for us on Thursday for the 9 p.m. Central game on ESPN. All right, so that's it for the playoffs. We just had the one game, and of course, on Friday, we'll talk about Nets, Bucks, and Clippers, Jazz. First, before we get to Miles Turner, and I think this is a really interesting conversation to have around the idea of Miles Turner in a Minnesota Timberwolves uniform. Could that happen? What's the interest level of the Timberwolves? Apparently high, but what could they offer? How would Turner fit, etc.? Before we get to all that, though, let's talk about the title sponsor of today's show, and that, of course, is Stat Hero. Did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes. Winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you the lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. And right now you can get 3x, that's 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. stathero.com/lockedon. Let's also talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. Tastes exactly like a candy bar. There's 9 delicious flavors to choose from at the Built Bar website. Again, these are protein bars. They're not candy bars, but they taste like candy bars. You know, throw out all your preconceived notions about protein bars. Try a coconut Built Bar, maybe coconut almond, cherry. If raspberry's more your speed, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate or salted caramel. There's something for everyone. I don't know. You could give me any of them except the peanut butter. I'm allergic to peanut butter, but mint brownie's amazing. Coconut's great. Cherry, fantastic. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Most flavors have 17 grams of protein, but only 130 calories. Find me a candy bar with only 130 calories that tastes this great. Only 4 grams of sugar and only 4 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's go ahead and jump into Miles Turner. Let's talk first about the actual rumor and then about could there be any substance to it and what could this thing look like? So this was reported by Jay Michael of the Indianapolis Star on Twitter. Kyle Cohen, at Kyle Cohen NBA, said that according to Jay Michael, the Knicks, Lakers, Clippers, Hornets, and Pelicans are among the teams that have inquired about Miles Turner. And then Jay Michael retweeted it and added, Hornets and T-Wolves really, in all caps, want Turner, like really do. So, this isn't completely out of left field. I mean, we a couple of things. The Timberwolves need another big to pair with Towns. Turner's really only played center throughout his career. Towns has really only played center throughout his career. So it's not an obvious match. At the same time, the Timberwolves need somebody who can play defense. They need someone who's versatile offensively. Turner is those things. And the Wolves also have a couple of contracts that would match up well with Turner from a trade perspective. It's a little accelerated because Nate Bjorken has been fired. He's been let go as the Pacers head coach after just 1 year. So it would seem like it's more likely that there's some roster turnover sooner rather than later with the Pacers. And Turner is somebody that has been rumored to be on and off the block quite a bit. So could something like this happen? I should also note, I missed this initially, but the Cohen tweet about teams interested in Miles Turner was actually pre-trade deadline back in mid-March. The retweet from Jay Michael updating his previous tweet added the Timberwolves to the conversation. So the Timberwolves weren't part of the initial list from March. Jay Michael bumped this tweet from March to say that the Hornets and Timberwolves both really want Miles Turner. So another thing to throw another log on the fire, I guess, is we know that Chris Finch has been wanting to play and did play big lineups. Ryan Saunders was petrified of playing big lineups. He played Josh Okogie at the four, for crying out loud. He played Anthony Edwards at the four a fair amount. He started Robert Covington at the four at the start of last season, which you know, isn't crazy. I'm not saying that he's wrong for doing all of this, just some of it, especially the Okogie at the four thing, defensively at least. But Chris Finch, I talked about this quite a bit before on the show, but Chris Finch was like, Naz Reid's good. I'm going to play him next to Towns. We'll figure this thing out later. Our rebounding's bad. Let's put another, 6'9", 6'10 guy with a big wingspan out there and see if that improves our rebounding. Lo and behold, it did. Hey, let's play Jaden McDaniels at the three. Let's play Juancho Hernan Gomez at the three to improve our rebounding, to improve our size overall and our length on the court. And it largely worked. I mean, the team was obviously still bad with Chris Finch as head coach, but they were certainly better, markedly better, and above 500 in their final 15, 16 games of the season, above 500 with D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns both healthy and in the starting, or I should say healthy and on the floor. So Chris Finch, all that to say, Chris Finch wants to play big. He's not afraid to play big. He knows they need to be better defensively. He wants offensive versatility. Miles Turner brings the defense to the table. He brings the offensive versatility to the table with the ability to be a screen and roller, the ability to be a pick and pop big, the ability to play hard in the paint and get rebounds. All of those things fall into Miles Turner's skill set. And he can do those things. Now, the catch here is he's only played the five throughout his career, as has Karl-Anthony Towns. Turner's basically not played power forward spot on any sort of consistent basis since he was 19 years old as a rookie 6 years ago. He's a center. He just always has been. But, I mean, so's Naz Reid, right? I mean, Naz Reid's effectively 6'10 with a wingspan. Like, I mean, a big wingspan. He's always played the five. And Turner's a good enough defender that he's the big that is going to be the one that's, guarding switches on the perimeter instead of Karl-Anthony Towns. He's going to be the one who's put in those situations, whereas Towns can hang back and protect the rim. And not only that, Turner's also, I should note this, Turner's a better rim protector than Karl-Anthony Towns, and it's not close. He led the league in block rate this year at 8.8%. 2 years ago, the last time he played anything resembling a full season, 74 games in the 18-19 season, he led the league with an 8.4% block rate. Miles Turner can protect the rim. He can guard switches on the perimeter. He can guard, adequately three positions on the four position. He could switch onto guards and hold his own, more than hold his own. All of those things are important to the idea that Turner could play alongside Karl-Anthony Towns. I think that he could. I think it's also really important to talk about his role on offense in Indiana and how effective he was in certain actions. he's a really good screen and roll player. As a pick and roll roll man, Miles Turner scored 1.28 points per possession last season with the Pacers. That's 93rd percentile league wide as a pick and roll roll man. Grades out as an A according to our friends at B-Ball Index. He's also an A minus percentile, 88th percentile as a cutter, which he didn't do a ton of, and putbacks and, you know, offensive rebounding. His roll gravity as the pick and roll roll man is fantastic. Let me find the exact numbers here. His roll impact per 75 possessions, which is defined as points scored per 75 possessions on rolls, was 89th percentile. That's an A minus. His pop impact as a pick and pop player was 95th percentile. It grades out as an A. Slipping screens, 83rd percentile. That's an A minus. Roll to pop to slip ratio, he rolled 49% of the time, popped 44% of the time. So not quite skewed. It's almost the inverse of Karl-Anthony Towns, where it's pretty even, but he leans towards rolling instead of leaning towards popping. And it makes sense. I mean, Turner's an adequate three-point shooter. What did he shoot this year? He was 33.5% from deep. Last year's 34.4%. The year before that, 38%. For his career, he's 35% from three. So he's basically the definition of a league average three-point shooter. And so you play him with Towns, and one pops and one rolls. Obviously, Turner's more likely to roll. Towns is more likely to pop. But those guys together in horn sets, those guys together in just straight pick and roll game or dribble handoff on the perimeter is going to be a ton of fun to watch. I pulled up Towns' roll slip pop ratio real quick, and I undersold it just a little. Towns popped 62% of the time in pick and roll and rolled a third of the time, 33% of the time. Slip screens, 5% of the time. So I'm right in that they're flipped. Turner rolled more, Towns popped more, but it was skewed a little bit more towards popping for Towns than even I expected. One other thing I wanted to note when it comes to Miles Turner's numbers over at B-Ball Index, virtually all of Turner's interior defense numbers are A's. Percentage rim shots contested, rim contest per 75 possessions, blocks per 75 possessions, block rate on contests, rim defensive field goal percentage versus expected are all A's. They're 96th percentile and up. League-wide, adjusted rim points saved per 75 possessions is an 87 percentile. That's an A-. His interior defense is top-notch, one of the best in the entire league. In terms of his rebounding, not all too far off from that. Defensive rebounding, A's and A-, is almost across the board. A couple of B's when it comes to boxing out of defensive rebounds per 75 possessions. But you looked at his contested defensive rebound percentage, that's 85th percentile. His defensive rebound chances per 75 possessions, 88th percentile. Very, very good defensively. Very, very good rebounding the ball. All the advanced metrics, love Miles Turner. Defensively, he's an A across the board, whether that's LeBron, which is the B-Ball Index proprietary metric, ESPN's real plus minus, 538's Raptor, adjusted box plus minus, LeBron box score, all of it is an A. Literally just a flat across A defensively, league-wide, or I should say metrics-wide across all of these different measuring sticks. Offensively is more of a mixed bag, and it's generally negative. In terms of his overall grade, but he's so good defensively that that doesn't really matter. And you look at his offensive profile, it's not like he's handling the ball and creating. It's not like he's an ultra efficient shooter. They don't run a ton of post plays for him in Indiana, and he's fine when he gets the ball in the post. But his offensive game is predicated on, you know, kind of, I don't want to say leftovers, but he's never been a high usage player. That's never been his game. I shouldn't say never. Earlier in his career, he was a little bit more so. But now he's basically, hey, if I'm open, I'll shoot the three. Almost half of his shot attempts were three-pointers this year. 47.7% of his shot attempts were threes. And when you only shoot 33% on threes, of course your offensive metrics aren't going to look great. But the fact is, he's got the capability to stretch the defense with that shot. He's good in pick-and-roll game. I already talked about his pick-and-roll points per possession as a roll man. Very, very good. And it's the threat of being able to do those things that's so dangerous. It's also why I think he would pair well with Towns, because Towns can handle on the perimeter. It's not like you're running two traditional centers out on the floor together. You've got a couple of guys who are athletic that can handle the ball, and especially in Towns' case, he's a very good passer. You're running them at the elbows or the free throw line extended in the high and the mid post. It's not like they're just slogging down the court to run, you know, low post plays, have low post players on both ends of the floor, like run an old set from 20 years ago where you're just kind of rotating through the post. That's not what this is going to be. The Timberwolves would almost always have five guys on the court who could shoot threes, which is often the case anyway this year. But Turner is just a dynamic player all the way around. And I think he could fit what Chris Finch wants to do very well. So next I want to talk about the potential structure of a deal and if it would be worth it for the Timberwolves, what they would have to get up to land Miles Turner. Before we do that, let's talk about our friends at Lucy. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in three flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in three flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. And it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Lucy lozenges and gums are also FSA and HSA eligible, so you can spend pre-tax dollars on them. Locked On NBA Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer, warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. All right, so we talked about Miles Turner. I've made the case for why Miles Turner could be a fit for the Timberwolves. I mostly just talked about offense, but the fact that he's as switchable as he is defensively would take a lot of pressure off of Towns. It would take some pressure off of, Jaden McDaniels, Juancho Hernan Gomez, guys who are going to play the three, maybe Jared Vanderbilt if he's back via restricted free agency. But Turner would be the guy in the front court defensively. Pair that with, if Josh Okogie is still on the team, or if the Timberwolves can get, if Jaden McDaniels is playing the three next to Turner, I mean, that's a long, dangerous team when it comes to defense and also the capability on offense too. So how could the Wolves maybe go about landing Miles Turner? Well, my friend Dylan Jackson over at Dunking with Wolves, my fellow co-editor at the Dunking with Wolves website, dunkingwithwolves.com, Dylan Jackson has been talking about training for Miles Turner now for well over a year, and he put together an article earlier this week called Three Josh Okogie Trades to Consider. Now, I would not advocate for trading Josh Okogie. I'm not against it, certainly, but I don't know that he's the guy that I opened the conversation with, and I don't think the Wolves would either. I actually think, and I said this the other day, I think Chris Finch probably wants to keep Josh Okogie. You need to have a plus perimeter defender on your roster, and Okogie is the only clearly plus defensive player that's a guard on this team, effectively a guard that can play the wing spots too. Jaden McDaniels is more of a four that can play the three and guard the two. And Josh Okogie is more of a two that can play the three and can guard ones, twos, and threes and some fours. So I think Chris Finch is going to want to have that flexibility. I think in a perfect world, Jarrett Culver is the one that's moved. He's got a larger salary and also more upside, but he's less helpful today. So if the Wolves can find somebody that wants to take on Culver, maybe Gerson Rosas bites the bullet and takes back a couple of second rounders for him. Maybe it's part of a larger deal. But my money would be on Jarrett Culver being traded this offseason and not Josh Okogie if I had to pick between the two. So anyway, the argument from Dylan Jackson at Dunking with Wolves is the Timberwolves could trade away Josh Okogie and Malik Beasley, get back Miles Turner and Edmund Sumner. I mean, I think that'd be fine. I think that I would do that. I do think that Miles Turner is, in a vacuum, you could argue, a slightly better player than Malik Beasley. In today's game, that might be surprising. And if Anthony Edwards didn't exist or wasn't on the Timberwolves, then this is a different conversation. But he does exist, and I've talked at length about the D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Malik Beasley trio offensively potentially working, but also potentially being problematic because of the old, there's only one ball to go around adage, right? And also, Edwards and Beasley together could be problematic defensively, will be problematic defensively, which is also part of the reason I don't think you can trade Josh Okogie. You can, but I'd prefer not to in this situation. So my proposal, if I was the Timberwolves, is I would start the conversation with Malik Beasley and Jake Layman in exchange for Miles Turner. I don't think the Wolves need to throw in Josh Okogie. And that works from a money perspective. It balances out quite nicely. Beasley's got two more years in a team option. Miles Turner has two more years at $18 million apiece. So the Wolves shave a year off of their books, as well as moving Jake Layman, freeing up a roster spot. Why does Indiana do this? It's a bit of a reset for them. Malik Beasley's obviously a really good offensive player, and they're kind of trying to figure out what they're... I mean, they've got Malcolm Brogdon and Caris LeVert and Jeremy Lamb, I guess. So from a roster balance perspective, I don't know that this makes a ton of sense for them. But, you know, the Wolves could potentially throw in a pick at some point, you know, a future pick. I think I'd be open to doing that. Maybe the Wolves ask for another piece back from Indiana. Maybe it's, Doug McDermott's got 1 year left on his deal. Maybe it's somebody who's got a little bit more in the way of defensive chops. I mean, TJ Warren is expensive, so Minnesota would have to include somebody else at that point. There's a few different options here. I guess the point is there's a trade to be made here, and I would give up Malik Beasley in a deal for Miles Turner if you could get Indiana on board. And at this point, the Pacers are looking to shake things up a little bit, and the Timberwolves swapping out in an equal swap, which it can't be, but you know, if they were able to get to turn Beasley into Turner, the Timberwolves would be better. They would. They'd be so much better defensively. Their offense wouldn't suffer all that much because remember, we're not talking about December Anthony Edwards or January Anthony Edwards. We are assuming we're going to get a March, April Anthony Edwards for the Timberwolves next season. If that's the case, Malik Beasley's not expendable, certainly, but he's less valuable to the team. Now, you'd still be short a little bit on shooting. Miles Turner is an okay outside shooter. He's fine. He's going to shoot threes and he'll do a pretty good job at it. Jalen Noel would immediately become a bigger part of the rotation. Jaden McDaniels would become a higher usage player. And I think that's okay. I think the Wolves expect that. And I think he's got the talent to continue to grow offensively and be effective on that end of the floor. But the Wolves would certainly need to add some more shooting if they want to play fast and shoot threes, which they do. But the defense has to improve. And with the way that Chris Finch wants to and has shown not only a willingness, but a desire to play big, you got to get guys like Miles Turner. You got to get bigs that can guard multiple positions, still hold their own offensively. There's a reason Chris Finch loved playing Jared Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's just he just isn't good on offense, but he's super good on defense. He's energetic. He's big. He can guard multiple positions. In some ways, Miles Turner is like an incredibly souped up version of Jared Vanderbilt, infinitely more talented offensively and defensively. He's applied himself much better, obviously, has much more years experience in the league, but that's what Chris Finch wants to do. He wants the big, versatile bigs that aren't a throwaway on offense. You're not playing 4-on-5 offensively. And no coach wants to do that, but also bring something to the floor defensively. And Miles Turner would do that. The Wolves would have him for 2 years. And I think you sacrifice 2, maybe 3 years of Beasley for that. You balance the roster a bit further. Nas Reed's your primary backup 4 and 5. In that scenario, you probably let Jared Vanderbilt walk. You play Jaden McDaniels at the 3 more frequently. And you got to find another shooter. You'd have to pick up another 2-guard. I think Jalen Noel deserves to get a crack at some playing time next year, but the Wolves would have to find a way to add some shooting to the roster. But I mean, if you can add a shooter, you know, say it's an above average 3-point shooter that gets plugged into the rotation. Maybe you start Rubio and Russell together. Maybe you start McDaniels at the 3 with Turner at the 4 and Edwards at the 2. There's a lot of different possible lineup combinations, but call it that lineup. Call it Russell in the starting lineup along with Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Miles Turner, and Karl-Anthony Towns. That is a long lineup with tons of shooting ability. Everybody can shoot the 3 in that lineup adequately. Everyone's dangerous in their own right offensively. Jaden McDaniels, not as much yet, but the upside's there. The flashes are there. Defensively, you've got 2+ defenders in McDaniels and Turner, 1 adequate defender in Towns, and your backcourt's obviously still suspect with Edwards and Russell, and that's putting it very lightly. They both were very bad defensively, but Russell's shown improvement, and Edwards has the tools to be good defensively. But Turner and McDaniels would make up for a multitude of sins on that end of the floor. So all that to say, Beasley and Jake Lehman, or, you know, the other version of this trade as suggested by Dylan over at Dunking with Wolves, Beasley and Okogie for Miles Turner and Edmund Sumner, fine. I think anything like that would work. Again, I don't know exactly why the Pacers do that deal unless they really want to get off of the Turner money, or they really want, there's a desire from Turner to be moved. I don't know. But if the Wolves could swap out Beasley for Miles Turner, that would be a positive move for the Wolves. And it would make a lot of sense based on how Chris Finch wants to play, and he would fit the roster. So that's my take on it. We'll see if there's any additional traction as we get into the meat of the offseason and once the finals are done and teams actually can start talking trade and consummating trades. And so that will obviously be a focus this offseason. And I do think that Miles Turner is a name to watch. And again, shout out to J. Michael over at the Indianapolis Star for the report and the rumor regarding the Timberwolves' interest in Miles Turner. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show, follow the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes Apple, Google, Spotify, and the all-new fantastic Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account at @bbeacon. That's bbeacon, two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Again, this episode is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. A reminder, this is a daily show Monday through Friday. We'll be back again on Friday to discuss the NBA playoffs from Thursday night, Brooklyn-Milwaukee first, and then LA Clippers versus the Utah Jazz. We'll talk all about that on Friday and any other news that crops up Timberwolves-wise. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.